Okay, good morning, colleagues. Welcome to this meeting of Midlothian Cabinet. Could I have a note of any apologies?
I don't have any.
And order of business?
The order of business is per the agenda. There were two follow papers issued, one in connection with information security, public sector network compliance, and the second one was the minutes of meeting of the Social Work Complaints Review Panel of 15th of November.
Okay, thank you. Any declarations of interest? Thank you. Takes us on to item four, the minutes of the meeting of the 8th of October. Member Lisa.
Thank you, Convener. There is the item referred to on the report, the inspection report for Mayfield Nursery. In that item, at the time, both myself and the Head of Education, who was presenting the report, made reference to the specific appreciation of the substantive head teacher, Mrs. Vicky Donaldson, who was at that time on secondment to Burnbrae Primary School, but nonetheless had had a very significant role in the achieving the standard that was commented upon by the inspectors as excellent, which was quite a considerable achievement, and it seemed quite remiss in our view, both the Head of Education's view and mine, not to recognise her specifically, not to take away from the team as a whole at the nursery, but that was not reflected in the minute, and I'd be grateful if the minute could be amended to reflect that appreciation of the enormous contribution that Vicky Donaldson made during her 6 years and more at Mayfield Nursery and the ensuing inspection report of excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, can we approve the minutes of the previous meeting? That takes us on to item five, the Midlothian Local Development Plan main issues report consultation. Ian.
Thank you, Chair. This report provides a summary of the responses received to the Council's Midlothian Local Development Plan main issues report, which is the first major stage in the strategy process of preparing a local development plan for the area. And it's also the key public consultation stage. And for that reason, Council undertook a very extensive and prolonged public consultation programme over the course of the period from May into June, prior to the school holidays, to make sure there's every opportunity for people to engage, and then also allowed the period for responses right up until the end of August. Details of the consultation process and what was undertaken are set out in part 3.6 of the report. Maintaining an up-to-date development plan is crucial to quite a number of things, not just implementing the strategic development plan, but maintaining an agenda for economic growth and environmental sustainability, and providing for housing of sufficient quantity at the right locations. The Council has a good record over many years of keeping local plans up to date, and progress on this Midlothian Local Development Plan maintains that record. You'll see from the report some 2,100 comments have been received, covering a wide range of issues, and an extensive summary is appended to the report under topic areas to make it more for ease of reference for people using it as a reference document. Certainly don't intend, Chair, to start working my way through those. It is important that there is member engagement as we now move forward towards the proposed plan stage, which is due for publication, subject to members' approval in the spring of next year. And you'll see from the recommendations that what we're suggesting, putting forward, is that there be member seminar or seminars in January of next year, so that members can set a very clear direction as to how they wish to see the proposed plan come forward, and what should be in it as we move to the next stage of that plan process. I'm happy to take questions. Janice Long is also here, who can obviously answer on more detail as may be necessary.
Thanks, Ian. I think certainly we would pass on our thanks for you and the team for all the work and pulling this together, because we know it's not the only significant piece of work that's been undertaken at the current time. Certainly, I'm very happy to agree with the approach outlined in the recommendations. I think the process we've followed so far, and the extensive consultation and involvement of members in developing the plan to this stage, we need to continue on that basis, and holding the seminar in January certainly allows us to do that. We can work out the detail of the best format for that, whether we do it by splitting that down into a couple of areas again, as we've done in the past. But certainly I think it is encouraging the level of contributions we've had back from the public consultation, and I'm sure members will take the opportunity when the seminars come to fully participate and engage in that in developing the final plan.
Thanks, Chair. Ian, page 21, the paragraph just before the next steps, suggesting a more innovative approach to sustainable development and scale of growth, and one seeks an amendment in respect to the CESPLAN supplementary guidance on housing land. Can we discuss that at some point later on, offline? Yep.
Okay. Members happy to note the accept the recommendations in the report?
Yeah.
Thank you. That then takes us on to item 6. 6A is the minutes of the Education Appointment Committee of the 1st November for noting, and B, the 4th of November also for noting. Okay. Item 7 is one of the follow papers, is the Information Security Public Sector Network Compliance.
Thanks, Chair. This report provides Cabinet with an overview on the recommendations arising from the Westminster Government. And in order for the Council to ensure compliance with the public sector network, which covers a number of our computer systems, there's a requirement in the next 10 weeks to make a significant amount of changes. The background is set out in section 2 on page F1. And in section 3 of the report, I've outlined the actions required together with the timescales, and essentially it's moving away from the existing ad hoc arrangements we've got in place whereby employees and councillors can work from home using their own kit. To comply with the PSN standard, we've got to formalise it to a significant degree, and the timescales set out in section 3.3 are mid-January 2014. So essentially we've got 10 weeks from today to react to the changes in order to secure our systems and ensure compliance with the government requirements. I've provided commentary on the business application updates and the impact on the schools' networks. Turning to section 4, at this point in time, it's difficult to quantify the financial and operational impact for employees who have a genuine business need to connect remotely to council systems. My colleagues in the back, Ian Ragg and Phil Timoney, have commenced a bit of work, and it's our anticipation that that work will be completed by the end of this month and certainly the first week by December. That in turn will give us an assessment of the operational and the financial implications of complying with the Cabinet Office mandatory instruction. The summary is set out in page 5, and just for committee, unusually for me, I will just run through the recommendations. There is a requirement to remove remote access, change the approach to councillor personal emails and use of smartphones and iPads, and also remove access away from non-council equipment to various applications. The switch-off date, if we don't comply, is January 2014. I'll re-emphasise my other point, 10 weeks from today. The review is underway and it's progressing satisfactorily. I'm looking for the Cabinet to acknowledge the requirement for the mandatory security standard, and there will potentially be further security changes going forward, and it's my intention to report further on the financial and operational implications at the earliest opportunity. And it would be my intention to potentially report to the December Council, failing which the January Cabinet, which is the 7th of January. The 7th of January is quite close to mid-January, so I'm looking for Cabinet to endorse the recommendations instruct me to go away and continue the work and report back at the appropriate time on the operational and the financial implications of complying with this requirement. It's not only affecting Midlothian, it's being considered throughout the whole of the public sector and indeed the Chief Execs Association, SOLAS, and other professional institutes well regarded in the public sector are getting exercised about this. Chair, I'll pause at that point. If there's any points of detail or technical clarification, my colleagues Ian and Phil and myself will try and answer them. Thank you.
Okay, I think the key here is that this is being imposed on us and we have no choice. Personally, I think the Cabinet Office have not thought through the practical implications of what this actually means. Because in reality, we've been trying to encourage flexible working and a whole host of different working practices, and this essentially knocks a lot of that out, or certainly makes it much more difficult and potentially carries with it a fairly significant price tag for the Council, because I'm pretty sure the Cabinet Office aren't going to be picking up the cost of additional equipment that's going to be needed for supporting some situations. So I think certainly at the very earliest opportunity we need to be seeing the implications of this, and if that's possible to have input from what other councils are doing in response to this, I think that would be to be useful to have included in that as well. Lisa, do you want to?
Amen to all of that, convener. Quite simply, my technical question is, where's the money coming from?
Yep, it's an excellent point. In my presentation, I was fairly measured in how I presented information to committee, and we need to work out who's got a genuine business need. That, in turn, will potentially come with a pound sign, and that's a piece of work we've undertaken across the Council at this point in time. A lot of our staff, and indeed councillors, use their own personal kit, on some cases goodwill, to access systems, and that is commendable, and I don't want to talk that down in any way, but to comply with this Cabinet Office instruction, we have got to move away from that. So that's why I'm suggesting a report forward the earliest opportunity, and I would be aiming for the December Council. I wouldn't like to speculate on the size of the pound sign at this point in time, but I think it's my duty to come forward and advise Cabinet at the earliest opportunity, because business, no matter what, has got to continue.
Maybe by way of additional recommendation, could we suggest perhaps that anyone affected by this is notified so that they kind of know that there are going to be changes, and that regardless if a full report's ready by December, that we have some form of update to inform all members at the Council in December. If it means that there's a more detailed report to Cabinet in January, that's fine, but I think we need to be making sure that everyone's fully aware of this, so particularly given that there's potentially a financial cost to this. But I think with that, can members agree that? Yeah.
Just in terms of Council officials, everybody's affected aware it through the management system, but I will alert councillors, and likewise if councillors have got feedback, certainly feed in to myself or my colleagues Ian and Phil, and we'll try and factor that to come up with a solution going forward.
Okay, thanks. Happy to move on that basis and accept those the recommendations outlined at section 6. Okay, thank you. Item 8 is assisted area map stage 1 consultation.
Thank you, Chair. This is seeking to ensure that Midlothian is on the regional aid map to qualify for European Union funds. And those funds essentially provide financial incentives to businesses to invest in disadvantaged locations for the longer term benefit of those areas, and enabling those areas to compete effectively in the longer term. It's a UK government controlled process to which local authorities then become involved and support. Stage one of the process is was to submit application for assisted area status in terms of identifying a geographical area. And the stage one deadline was very tight. It was the end of September. Scottish Government have taken a major role in assisting local authorities and seeking to guide them with advice, and certainly the advice has been to councils where it were relevant to collaborate with other local authorities because there would be a much greater chance of success. And in that respect, Midlothian is linked in with Scottish Borders Council, Dumfries and Galloway and East Lothian councils to put together a continuous geographical area using parts of those districts and put forward. The stage two process, which is yet to happen, will be when a draft map is produced for comment by consultees, and that'll be including the four councils I've just referred to. Eventually, once agreed, then the map becomes operative from July 2014. To maximise the chances of being successful, councils need to be selective in putting forward parts of their areas which meet particular criteria, and they're set out in the report. And also at table one on page 70 of the papers are the areas within Midlothian which are identified as to be within the assisted areas map. What I should say is that that does not mean that areas out with those particular wards in some way suffer. It's more a question of where are the wards which have opportunities to receive some sort of financial assistance, and therefore has, in a sense, a wider impact on the whole of Midlothian in relation to opportunities for employment for people who may not live within those particular wards. The recommendations are as set out in the report. John Beveridge is with me, who knows a lot more about this and is happy to take questions on more detailed aspects of it.
Thank you, Ian. This is good news, if we get it. I would like to comment on paragraph 2.4, which tells you the area in general terms, down the Waverley line and westward towards West Lothian. I'm really happy that this is on the table, and I'm sure we'll be successful with the guidance of Ian and John.
Thanks, Chair. I would echo what has already been said. I found this a very encouraging report, and I read it in conjunction with the following two papers, and it makes very positive reading altogether. I know it's a bit in the future, and I know we may not get all that we want, but the key things for me was the so-called SME, the small, medium firms. I say this because I realise that a lot of the success of the German economy is based on the so-called Mittelstand, which are these small firms, and we just don't have enough of them in Britain. So I would encourage this development, because this group of small businesses is being mentioned so often in this report. I think, however, taking the German model, it has to be backed up by financial and local authority support. And that, of course, is the great secret in Germany, that the local authorities and the banks very much work with local enterprise. And I'm sure this will be an outcome from this. Of course, I should only be speaking on educational matters, but this, of course, does have an important educational role for me, because we're talking about improving positive destinations. It's a major aim, which is mentioned in many of our reports, and I see these small and medium-sized firms as providing employment, and dare I mention again the word apprenticeships, because it's so important, because these kind of firms do offer this. So I certainly wish our officials every success, and I look forward to future reports. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. John, Ian, do you want to make any comment on that?
Just one comment to make. If we get this through, it'll actually boost the percentage rate that businesses can apply for in terms of grants to assist business development projects. So if we get this through in these wards that we're looking at, it really will be a boost to the local economy. So this is the first stage in terms of like economic intelligence gathering. Next stage, about Christmas time, is putting together the map. So that's when we'll work closely again with the Borders, East Lothian and Dumfries and Galloway in terms of the submission. And that's the steer we've had for the Scottish Government as well, so touch wood, we'll get it through.
I think with that, can we enthusiastically endorse the recommendations at Section 5? Thank you. That then takes us on to a proposed business improvement district at the Bush.
Thank you, Chair. This is an update on progress towards the establishment of a business improvement district at the Bush. And this would run separately too, but concurrent with the Pennycook Business Improvement District, as reported to the most recent Cabinet meeting. Essentially, it's businesses within a defined area agreeing to work collectively in investing in local improvements to benefit those businesses and the local economy. It's additional, not substitute investment to whatever may be being input by central or local government. And further background on the business improvement districts is set out in part two of the report. In the case of the bush, which you obviously members will be aware is a very significant part of the area of Midlothian, given its substantial employment base. The Bush Master Plan, which this council, together with the University of Edinburgh and Scottish Enterprise, funded and produced earlier in the year, and from that the Bush Development Board, which meets which comprises really all of the main players at the Bush. I think that provides a sound basis and an agenda for the sort of business improvement district programme of activity and works. As highlighted, £20,000 is already awarded from Scottish Government to assist in the development of the business improvement district at the Bush, which can be put to good use. This is picked up in the recommendations to the report, along with the other aspects in terms of recognising the Council's role in assisting the start-up process, the appointment of relevant people to the main steering group, and obviously further reports on progress on this and on the one at Pennycook as well. But again, John Beveridge here, happy to pick up points and members want to raise.
Thanks again for that, Ian. A bit of background for you with bids. It started off in Canada 40 years ago, was taken up enthusiastically in the USA, and it's been run out in this country. Not always with success. The Pennycook bids is moving apace. Derek Rose has put a great deal of work, as has John Beveridge's team. And if I could just draw your attention to paragraph 2.10, it would be the intention of the council to appoint a project officer who would run with both bids, the one for Pennycook and the one for the Bush. So I have no hesitation in recommending we adopt the four recommendations in paragraph four. Thank you.
Thank you. Certainly, it's yet another tool that we can use to support the number of businesses we have in Midlothian, and certainly the activities at the Bush are ever increasing and growing. So if any mechanism we can use, I think we should be using, and it's very much encouraging. With that, happy to accept the recommendations in the report. Thank you. Item 10 is the Business Gateway in Midlothian Progress Report.
Thank you, Chair. This is an update on the performance of the Business Gateway since it was brought in-house to the Council in October 2012, so just about a year of operation. Just to recap, the Business Gateway service offers advice and guidance to those seeking to start up a business or to grow an existing business, and more details of that is set out in part two of the report. The actual figures showing levels of performance are set out in the appendix to the report. Overall, I would say they're positive. I think it's important to note that, to some extent, and as it says in the summary to the report, the Council were making very much of a standing start in October 2012 for various reasons, which are set out in terms of how the service essentially wound down in the run-up to that. We've benefited from recruiting some very good staff indeed who are making a lot of progress, and one of the main changes that's occurred is that in terms of the way the council's running it is that those staff operate on much more of an outreach basis, spending 2 or 3 days in fact of each week away from the office in the main towns and the main settlements, and I think that that's been well received by customers of the service who really felt some benefit from that. So in overall terms, I would say that performance has been as good as one could have hoped over the course of the first year, with a lot of effort being put in by all the relevant people. I think the prospects are good, but obviously we'll be coming back to you on a regular basis with further performance reports.
Yeah, the Business Gateway for Midlothian has been very successful since October 2012. And you only have to look at Appendix 1 just to see what the staff have done. And Ian was alluding there to the fact that our
People go out to Roslyn, Pennycook and Mixsense and actually go and see customers there, which has been a great success. That's not to forget the staff who work in the Midlothian council offices at Fairfield House, Jane and Andrew, who's the backup, and the whole team are to be congratulated. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, members, happy to accept the recommendations. Thank you very much. That's